Secretary Larry Walther, our Secretary of Finance Administration, and then Dr. Greg Bledsoe, our Surgeon General. A quick update, and Dr. Smith will have more comments on this shortly. Yesterday, we had 165 cases. Today, we have plus nine, so that's 174 active cases in Arkansas. We're continuing to test, but we're really addressing some of the nursing home and long-term care facilities, and some of those were negative, which we're very grateful for. I did want to comment also on our personal protection equipment, from the N95 masks to gowns and other equipment that I referenced yesterday that we have such a need for in Arkansas, from the small clinics to the hospitals to emergency responders. And I've had a lot of calls, as others had, from across the state on this issue, and I'm pleased to say that because of the efforts of our procurement team, we do have an order for production time for up to 2 million units, and some portion of those 2 million units are scheduled to be available for shipment late this week. In the meantime, we have more equipment that is being ordered and being shipped from the National Strategic Stockpile. So we do have this in motion, and that should be good news, even though this is a day-by-day thing with the demand across the nation, across the globe, for this these shipments of PPE. Now let me address the economy, the state budget, and tax deadlines. And I will get to three announcements, but let me give you a little background on this. First of all, as a result of layoffs and business slowdowns, we expect a $160 million reduction in state revenue between now and the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th. In addition, I've spoken with Senate Pro Tem Jim Hendren and Speaker Matthew Shepard on the issue of the filing deadline for tax returns. And there, we all know that there's a great need because of the individuals in Arkansas that are short of cash. They might have lost their job. They were living paycheck to paycheck, and now they don't have that paycheck. They might be waiting for unemployment benefits, which will be less. All of this strains the individual families, and the federal government gave relief for tax filers to July 15th. And so I've worked with the Senate and House leadership, and we have a proposal, an announcement in regard to Arkansas as to what we should do. Today, I have three announcements, as I mentioned. First of all, for individual taxpayers in Arkansas, the individual tax filing and payment deadline is extended until July 15th. This mirrors the same deadline as the federal government, which makes it the easiest for individual filers. This should provide relief and consistency for individual Arkansas taxpayers. Let me emphasize, for corporate tax filers and estimated payments for the current year, the deadlines will remain the same. Individual filers will be able to have their payments and deadline extended to July 15th, mirroring the federal. Corporate filers and estimated payments for the current year will remain the same and due on the same dates as in previous years. The House and Senate leadership have expressed their support for this change. And let me just stress that we have worked very closely together in recent days, and I have had many communications about this and the challenges that it will present as well. Because the result of this change, start off with the $160 million gap because of the lost revenue because of business slowdown. And now with moving the revenue stream into July 15th, part of the revenue stream, that leaves us a larger gap this year. And I remind everyone that we're not the federal government. We can't print money, and we have to balance the budget every year. And so our deadline for balancing the budget is June 30th, even though many of the payments are going to be extended for individuals until July 15th. And this leaves us in total with a $353 million shortfall over the next 3 months. This leads to the second announcement, which is that Secretary Walther has revised the official revenue forecast downward by $353.1 million. That letter will be issued later today. And all of this leads to the third announcement, that this necessitates a special session of the General Assembly to fill the holes in the budget. I'll be working with the legislative leadership again to identify the specific time frame for this special session. It will clearly need to be soon, but we want to work with them as to the exact time frame. And let me give you some illustrations as to what the needs are here. First of all, whenever we lower the revenue forecast by $353 million, that impacts the Department of Health, that impacts every agency of state government under our balanced budget procedures. So we have to utilize our $173 million reserve, which is the unallocated surplus from last year. We'll utilize that to fill the gaps, to make sure that the Department of Health can carry out their mission without being reduced in their budget. We want to make sure that ADAM has its resources during this emergency time. We want to make sure that we have our child welfare workers able to make their calls and do their work. So we will utilize and manage the unallocated surplus to accomplish the broader mission of state government, even though it's going to be a serious belt-tightening time for all of state budget, except for those that are on the front line of the current crisis, and we utilize our surplus to make sure those needs are met. But there's also a need for that surplus for a quick response in the event that we need ventilators, in the event we need respirators, in the event we need help for our hospitals and PPE that's purchased. So during this emergency time, we have to keep some of those reserves in place with a lot of flexibility for quick action to meet these needs. Those will be the items that will be addressed in the special session of the legislature. And with that, I want to ask Secretary Walther if he had any comment, whether he wanted to take questions.
Any other questions?
All right, we'll wait and we'll have him address any questions that might come up. So let's go to Dr. Nate Smith, followed by the Surgeon General, just on comments in terms of the current health situation on COVID-19.
Thank you, Governor, for your leadership, and thank you, Secretary Walther, for your support for our efforts. And Surgeon General Bledsoe, thank you for your support and interfacing with the public. First of all, I want to show this map, which is now on our website, going to the Arkansas Department of Health website, scrolling down, and there's a big blue button. This will be updated four times a day, provides an update on where we are with the COVID-19 situation. And this was possible through our partnership with the GIS office within the Department of Transformation and Shared Services. So I want to give special thanks to them and for all the other state agencies that have supported our efforts. And the one update that I'll have is that right now it says zero recovered, but we do have five individuals who have met our criteria for recovery from COVID-19. I want to give a quick update on the numbers. An increase of 9 is the smallest increase that we've had in a single day for several days. And the largest reason for this is that we've been focusing our testing on the nursing homes, the three nursing homes where we've had cases. And they were really what caused our big surge yesterday. The good news is that we've really only gotten one additional positive case from the residents and staff that we've tested at these three nursing homes. And so that's very, very good news. We're going to complete the testing of all the residents and all the staff at all three of the nursing homes, but we're very, very encouraged by the large number of negative results that we've received so far. In terms of the total number, we have 10 children 63 adults 65 years and older, and 101 adults aged 19 to 64. 60% are women, and 40% are men. 20% are African American, 70% are white, and the remaining 10% are other. We currently have 9 patients who are hospitalized. We currently have 6 who are on a ventilator. There are 22 who have ever been hospitalized, 14 who have ever been in an ICU, and we have a total of 38 who are in a nursing home. A couple other quick updates for you. Because we really, really need to decrease opportunities for the spread of COVID-19, we've made the decision to send out a directive for barber and beauty shops, nail salons, massage therapists, and tattoo studios to cease operation temporarily until we get past our COVID-19 outbreak. The last thing that I wanted to address is the keen interest that we've had amongst the public and some of our medical practitioners in chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, sometimes in combination with the medication azithromycin as a possible treatment for COVID-19. I want to point out that we have very little evidence to show effectiveness for either chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine, either alone or in combination, and there are significant side effects and drug-drug interactions that most physicians are not very familiar with. So I want to put out a word of caution. Although there's a common understanding out there that this has been FDA approved, these drugs have been FDA approved for other indications, but not for treatment of COVID-19. So I urge caution, especially from our medical community. There's the potential to cause some very serious harm for medications that we really don't have very strong evidence for at all. With that, I thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Smith, and thanks, Governor, for your leadership. I just wanted to make a quick comment about PPE and where we are. I've been inundated with calls from providers around the state saying that they were critically low on PPE. This is something that's a very serious situation, and I appreciate the governor's leadership in allocating an extra $30 million to purchase PPE equipment for the state and for our providers. In addition to UAMS and the state going out and purchasing the PPE where they can find it, I've been working with a number of private sector folks looking for PPE, and what we're being told is that we're finding suppliers and they're signing contracts, and then the PPE is being diverted to other states. This is obviously very frustrating. It's very frustrating for me personally and very frustrating for a number of the providers. But I do want to say a word to the providers that we're listening to you. We take this very seriously. You're right. You need PPE. And we are working diligently to use every means possible to get the PPE that you need to take care of patients when they arrive in your community. On a personal level, this is very serious to me because in addition to being the Surgeon General for the state, I'm also a practicing emergency physician. Saturday is my wife's birthday, but I'll be in the emergency department for the next 3 days after Saturday working in a busy emergency department here in Central Arkansas taking care of patients. I've been told we have a little PPE, but it won't last long. So for me personally and for the other providers who are on the front lines, this is a big deal, and we're taking it very seriously. And I just want the medical community and the provider community to know that as a team, we're using every means possible. We're calling in favors. We're making phone calls. We're doing everything that we can do to get the PPE for our state that we need. And we just want to say thanks again to the courageous and sacrificial services of our healthcare community in this time. We need you and we appreciate you, and we thank you all for doing all that you're doing for the state.
Before we take questions, I did want to recognize our budget director, Jake Bleed, who's been working rather diligently and hard on this budget circumstance we find ourselves in. With that, any questions?
So you said $160 million from just lost business, and the cut is $353. Is the other $190 million from shifting the tax filing deadline?
That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
So are there any layoffs?
We're not planning any layoffs. We want to look at the secretaries were just notified of this today. They've got to look at their individual budgets, and we've got to look at the fact that, you know, travel is down. We're not traveling. We have some lower expenses, but we will obviously want to look at all of those, and we look at it programmatically as well. So it's too early to say exactly where those cuts are going to come from, but it's a lot, and we will take it a step at a time, but we're on the early stages of determining that. But that's also why we have the unallocated surplus that we're going to utilize to make sure we're able to carry out the essential services. So we'll manage through this. I'm optimistic, but it is going to be a challenge for the next 3 months.
So, do you guys know how much you're cutting from each category?
So, the did you want to address that? Okay.
There, as you'll recall, there are three categories in the RSA. There's A, B, and C. Obviously, B and C will be cut immediately. Then we'll distribute the remainder, which is about $250 million once the B and C are reduced, throughout Category A. And that will be distributed evenly among all of the agencies. Then we'll be working with each of the agencies to determine where they have critical services or work that needs to be done, and we'll work with them to determine if they need to have dollars filled back in with the surplus that we have.
So you don't know exactly how much of the unallocated surplus you're going to need?
No, we would. You know, we're going to use it where we need to use it. We'd like to have some that we can carry into next year, so we'll be very judicious in applying that process, but we still need to make sure that agencies have what they need to get their job done.
Did you guys look at maybe tapping the long-term reserve fund to fill the budget holes, or do you feel like that was...
Not at this time. It's there. What is there, $150 million in it. We have $173 million in the surplus. We have $43 million in the restricted reserve. So we have some places to go before we would get to the long-term reserve.
When are you going to, the first day of the fiscal session, is that when you're... On the first day of the fiscal session, is that when you're going to roll out your revised 2021 budget?
Yes. We're getting through 20 right now, and then we'll be, obviously there will be an impact on 21. I've looked at some preliminary numbers, and it's going to be significant there. It all depends on how long the economy is in, the situation it's in, and then starts recovering, how much that will be into 21. And so we will be getting quantitative information in the next 3 months, because this month, the month of March, we're collecting revenues that were actually for February. So the impact of the virus is not in this month's collections, but it will definitely be in the next 3 months. And so we'll get information about what's happening to the economy through our collections in the last quarter of this year, this fiscal year. The fiscal year ends June the 30th.
Some of the original discussion was extending the payment deadline to June 1st. How did we get to extension of both the filing deadline and the payment deadline to the 15th?
Well, there's been a lot of different discussions on different options, but the underlying principle is that we want to provide relief for individual taxpayers, and secondly, we want to eliminate as much confusion as possible for individual taxpayers in reference to their federal filing or state filing. And so for that reason, we opted to, and it's my decision, but I did it with the support of the leadership of the General Assembly, to extend the filing deadline until July 15th for individuals and to mirror that time frame as same as the federals. but we did not do it for, which was part of the discussion, we could have extended it for all filers. We didn't do that. We did it for individual filers so that we could manage the budget better and provide the relief for individuals in Arkansas that are in the greatest need right now. Yes, this will be a special session, and so as Secretary Walther talks about the impact of the RSA to achieve a budget, we want to utilize our flexibility because of our surplus before we get to that point, and that's the reason we'll need a quick special session to give me the flexibility that's needed.
Figure yesterday about the PPE that we got from the federal government. With this extra $2 million, I guess, where does that put us? How much more do we need?
Well, I mean, the 2 million units are ordered from overseas, and you have to schedule production time, and you worry about that getting taken over by someone else. We got a contract. Hopefully, we've got people of integrity that's going to fulfill that order. We're utilizing U.S. Supply chain, working overseas to fill that. That is something that we're doing as a state. You have the separate issue of the federal government having the national strategic stockpile that they have sent us 25% of what we requested. We understand that they are sending us more, and that should be received this week. We're very grateful for that. And they're having to manage their stockpile in relation to the entire country. And so we're glad that we're going to be getting some in quick. And so with that, we should be able to manage what we have at the Department of Health currently with what is coming in from the stockpile that's managed federally, and then continuing to work as a state for the longer term because we're going to have to replenish all of these stockpiles. It's just, as I mentioned yesterday, we are competing with a big universe in terms of the marketplace. But we got a great team in procurement through our emergency management, working with UAMS, that's doing a good job on this.
How many of the tests are you able to track to a specific source?
Tests? I'll let Dr. Smith.
Can you clarify your question?
I mean, can you give me an idea of the percentage of the positive test that you know basically where it's coming from?
Yes. The question then was, what percentage of our tests do we know where they came from? Because of the volume of tests coming in, there's a lag in terms of our investigations, and so we're not able to investigate them as deeply as we were at first. Most of the testing that we've done in the last 24 hours has been focused on those nursing homes, and so we understand the possible chains of transmission there, but I don't have a detailed breakdown for you there. We're seeing more cases that that we don't, on the face of it, know about travel or about known contact with a known case, and so we are assuming at this point that we are having community transmission here in Little Rock, and likely we will be seeing that elsewhere in the state. We'll continue to get the information out there so people living in parts of the state will know where we're seeing cases.
What's the criteria for recovery?
Criteria for recovery differs between patients who are in the hospital as opposed to those who are outpatient. The CDC criteria that we're following is 7 days after the onset of symptoms or 3 days since the resolution of symptoms, whichever is a longer period of time. And so we're using that in assessing how many of our cases have met those criteria for recovery.
Doctor, we have a figure of 14 days for like a national shutdown. Do you think 14 days is like a good time frame, or I guess of any shutdown, is there a certain number of cases where you would see that you need to, like a greater shutdown than we've had?
I don't think Dr. Smith has authority for a national shutdown, do you?
I mean, just 14 days is like a time frame to flatten the curve, as you're saying.
Did you want?
In theory, if we were able to get everyone to go in their house and not a single person leave, 14 days is an incubation period. And in theory, we would see a resolution of transmission. That's obviously not possible. We can have spread within a home. We have people who need to be out of their homes to help us to have water, light, food, things like that. I think a shutdown or lockdown or shelter in place to be effective would probably need to be sustained for a much longer period of time.
And let me just elaborate on that point of you hear the discussion about, a shutdown or everybody is in their homes. Well, essential services go on, which is utility companies, which is manufacturing, it's a food supply, it's logistics. And so there's really not such a thing as a national shutdown. It is how you are minimizing the flow and the potential transmission. We're taking good steps in Arkansas because we are advising businesses, and they're doing this, and I'm very grateful for it, for social distancing within their businesses, the proper health techniques that they're doing, including the screening. That's what we have to do, along with individuals taking responsibility. I've been in a carryout restaurant, and there's a proper 6 feet distance between everybody in line. I mean, that's exactly what we've got to do, is to maintain that so we can get over this hump.
Can you say the dollar amount of the
Nope. I can't. Somebody might outbid us.
that was my question. Do we have to pay for the stockpile equipment?
No. That comes from the federal government. That's part of their support for us.
What's the quantity of that? Like if the last one was 25%, do you know how much this one's going to be for this depleted stockpile?
It's 25. There's going to be another 25% of our request, so that will bring us up to 50% of our original request. All right, one last question.
The barbershops, the salons, is that recommendation going into effect immediately? And then kind of piggybacking off that, can they stay open to sell products that they may have and not necessarily provide service?
The directive will go out today. Obviously, it can't go into effect today, but it'll go into effect tomorrow. And we'll try and specify language. The idea is that we don't want people coming in contact with each other and then potentiating the spread of COVID-19. So anything that can be done without that kind of contact, that should be just fine.
And do you also have a breakdown of the age group of the hospitalizations?
I do not have that.
Clarification question. About
one clarification.
It's 25% of what Arkansas requested? Because I was told by the health department that since the state's got 25% of the stockpile, that was the 25%.
25% of what we requested.
So it's an amount we requested, it's 25% of that, and then we will get another.
That's correct. Thank you very much.